WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The weekend's rash of tornadoes in the plains turning deadly. A four-month-old child dead after a tornado tore through a home in Holdenville, Oklahoma. And in Sulphur, Oklahoma, Julie Cox lost her boutique, and some of her friends lost their businesses, too.
I mean, that's just devastation. I mean, I have a lot of friends that own, you know, this whole street. We're all like family here.
22 million Americans are under a threat for violent storms today. More than 200 arrests Saturday as protests over the war in Gaza continue on U.S. college and university campuses. Newly released video showing American Keith Siegel, who is being held by Hamas. The first time his family has seen him in more than 200 days, Hamas says that it is reviewing a new Israeli ceasefire proposal. After a nearly three-year investigation, federal regulators saying that a critical safety gap in Tesla's autopilot system may be responsible for hundreds of accidents and more than a dozen deaths. This is ABC News. In the 2020 presidential election, Joe Biden became the first Democrat to win Georgia since Bill Clinton. The race there looks to be tied in 2024. He's ABC's Rachel Scott.
Polling suggests it will be an uphill battle for Biden, with Trump leading by an average of 6 points in a head-to-head matchup. Senator Raphael Warnock, who has been on the ballot 5 times over 2 years, knows his state's voters well.
I would urge him to do what we're doing, and that is to keep telling the story about the work that we are doing. The other side doesn't have anything to talk about.
To win in November, Biden needs to turn out voters.
Another nightmare for an American allegedly discovered with bullets in his baggage in Turks and Caicos, now facing a mandatory sentence.
His wife, Jerry Ann, says it was an honest mistake.
Like, I understand that there's laws and regulations, but there should be fairness and grace when it comes to things.
That's ABC's Morgan Norwood reporting. I'm Dave Packer, ABC News.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Women in politics are reporting a spike in threats and harassment. Mike Moan reports.
The Brennan Center for Justice recently issued findings that detail the threatening behavior those in the political arena are experiencing now. Women were 3 to 4 times as likely as men to experience abuse targeting their gender. Erin Velarde of the advocacy and assistance group Vote Run Lead says this creates more unfairness in areas such as resource planning for a campaign.
We see women candidates and incumbents right now having to pay for security, right? Having to put in their budgets, in their campaign funds, in their line items, you know, for their campaigns, a security detail.
Ann Velarde says because of the worsening climate, the threats are extending to almost all other candidates, including conservative white men. She and other researchers call on party leaders to strongly condemn political violence. They also recommend that each state implement stronger protection for office holders. And Velarde says it's not just women candidates and incumbents having to deal with this behavior. Women working as top aides and political journalists are subject to more hateful rhetoric these days.
This is something that permeates women in politics, not just for the folks that are stepping up to lead, but for the ecosystem of women around them.
And if more women decide not to run or seek re-election as a result, Velarde says this means there will be fewer opportunities for gender equality in leadership positions in state legislatures and Congress. She urges constituents to send messages of support to women office holders as they weigh these challenges and their political futures. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Corporation of New York.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Showers, even a thunderstorm possible for today. East winds will be breezy with highs in the lower 60s. For tonight, showers, still a thunderstorm around as lows drop to the middle 50s. Thunderstorm chances will not end once we get to Monday. Right now, it's 54.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the Madison Mallards' Kyle Chisholm joins us to talk all things baseball. Three headlines in a lie. I hope you can join us.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, folks, welcome to the Cripescast. I'm your host, Charlie Behrens. This is the podcast where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest. We are brought to you by Jolly Good Soda, and here is today's episode. Hey, folks, how we doing? Excuse the voice. I know I'm a little bit, I don't know if I'm sick or just, I did a slew of shows over the weekend, and then I've been doing podcasts since with Miles. We've been doing our Bellied Up podcast, Miles Montplaisir, the You Betcha guy, who is also our guest on today's Cripescast. Miles and I have another podcast together, the Bellied Up podcast. Those of you who've been listening to the show for a while know that. Those of you who don't, now you know. I'm sitting in a hotel in Fargo right now. Oh, Fargo is beautiful this time of the year, folks. I tell you what. Jeez Louise. Hasn't quite snowed here yet, so it doesn't quite look like a moon landing, but little pre-moon landing Fargo. What else do we got cooking? Oh, I was on tour this past weekend in Burnsville, Minnesota. Boy, oh boy, we had six shows. Six shows there. I cannot thank you guys enough for coming out and seeing me. I felt like a lot of the shows were really good. I'm really working out this new hour and finding what hits and what doesn't. So when you have six shows right back to back to back to back, really helps you do that. So, man, I had a lot of fun. Really did. Thank you, Burnsville. Coming up this week, I guess Marshfield. I'm going to go see you. Houghton up in the UP of Michigan. That'll be fun. And then Fish Creek, baby, the thumb of Wisconsin. I'll be there on Sunday. All right. With that, folks, here is my conversation with my very good pal, Miles Montplaisir. Miles, the You Betcha guy, the co-host of the Bellied Up. Miles, my buddy. Here we go. All right. Here I am with one of my very, very, very dear friends. Miles Montplaisir, the You Betcha guy. He's been on the podcast a few times. Mm-hmm. I think you've been on the Cripescast the most of any other guest.
Miles. That adds up. We get together and podcast every nine weeks.
So. Yeah, which we do for folks who don't know for the Bellied Up podcast. Miles, give the spiel of the Bellied Up podcast for people who might want to see us on, you know, our own podcast.
Yeah, together. Bellied Up podcast. Basically, Charlie and I go and belly up to a bar, and just like any good bar, we give good advice while we're drinking at the bar.
Yeah. Do you actually think that we give good advice?
Well, there's sometimes where I come to a fork in the road, Charlie.
Yeah.
And one path says give good advice, and then the other side says give bad advice, but it will be funny.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I take the second road.
It is a lot more fun. I try sometimes to actually give good advice, and you take that fork and you stick it in my tires.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You deflate that right away.
I think they call that a yin and yang.
Charlie. Yin and yang. It's nice.
But yeah, thanks for having me back on the podcast.
Yeah.
I think, though, your audience has got to be pretty sick of us doing this.
No, doing what, Miles? What do you think we're doing right now?
You and I doing the Cripes cast together.
Do you think the audience is thinking, oh, boy, Charlie didn't have another guest. He didn't plan ahead.
If they're followers of you, yes, they should know that by now.
Well, Miles, that's not true. And I want the audience to know that that's not true. By the way, if you're wondering where we're recording, we are recording in Miles's very clean podcast studio.
Home game for me here, away game for you.
It is an away game. So what you been up to lately, huh? Give people a sense of you're married now, you know. Have you been on the podcast since you got married?
I don't think so.
Yeah, no, it has been a minute. So it's really a treat to have you
back. Yeah, it's been at least a year, don't you think? Yeah, yeah.
All right, Miles.
So I'm still married, by the way.
Good for you. Yeah. I was going to ask. Yeah. I was going to ask, it's going good then.
So far, so good. Still married. Isn't that the goal of marriage, pretty much? Just to stay married?
Yeah. 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 I mean, on top of that, the frosting on top of
the love.
The love, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and enjoying fun. The marriage and growing your life with somebody and this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah. But mostly just stay married, right?
Yeah, something like that. So, Miles, what are the top three tips you have for staying happily married in the Midwest?
Well, I don't know about just the Midwest. I think just in general, though, what I've noticed, really got to pick your battles.
Yeah.
There's some times where, like, you could bring up something and then you just got to think, like, this is not worth it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Well, give me one recently where
I don't really have an example. It's mostly just like I've also noticed that the sooner you come to just know that you're going to get scheduled for stuff that you don't really want to do and you just have to do it, that's part of marriage, the easier it's going to go.
Stuff
will just show up on my calendar of dinner with these people and whatever. And it's just like, oh, just have to accept that and not be like, well, I'm busy or anything like that. You just have to do it.
Just do it. Yeah. Don't make a fight over something that you can stomach.
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. That's good. Next.
Oh,
I asked for three.
Okay.
That was one.
Well, one was pick your battles. Two, accept that you're going to have to go to stuff that you don't want to.
Okay. I feel like you're really stretching. I feel like that could have been a bullet point under one, but that's fine. All right. We'll go right to three.
The other thing is, I think that marriage is getting a bad rap these days. You know, it's like, I feel like every time I go on social media, it's like, marriage is hard. And I know it's like only been 6 months, but there's not even been close to like, oh, this marriage thing is hard. It's just, I feel like,
well, that's great.
I know. That's kind of what I mean is if you find the right person, it shouldn't be hard.
Find the right.
But everyone's always like, marriage is so hard. And I don't have kids yet, so that might change.
Yeah.
But that being a parent's hard, not marriage, I feel.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No,
it might be ludicrous of me here.
That's a good philosophy.
And Anne may leave me tomorrow, and then I'm like, all this is shot.
So
if Anne leaves me, I'm going to need to do an emergency Cripes cast with you and just backtrack everything I just said.
An ECC. Yeah. We can do that. We can line that up. How is Anne doing?
She's good.
Yeah. Nice. Great. You know, Miles, it's like pulling teeth on this podcast. What are these one word answers?
Well, that was kind of Yeah, she's been doing great. You know, she's got her stuff and she's been keeping busy. And
now we're talking. Now that's a response I can work with.
The token interview answer.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm on David Letterman right now.
Why do you have to roast me on my own podcast?
That wasn't a roast. David Letterman had a very successful career.
Well, I know, but I mean, you're commenting on the style, the late night style. Funny. You feel like there's an audience right there or something. So you meant that in a good way then?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll take that.
Yeah. Next segment is, does it sink or does it float?
Yeah.
That would actually be kind of fun.
That would be good. Oh, yeah. Nice. Hey,
starting off with Miles's marriage. Does it sink or does it float?
6 months in, still floating. So what made you guys want to redesign the podcast studio?
Well, our first podcast studio was just kind of stuffy. You know, it felt too corporate-y, felt a little too David Letterman. And
I also like how Jared's over here laughing at Jared. Can you please start laughing at my jokes too? Okay. Not yeah. just Miles's. Yeah, I'll do that. And when you laugh at Miles's, can you laugh just a little bit off the mic so yeah. they think he's getting lots of laughs at me? That'd be great. Thanks. Yeah. It's my podcast.
So yeah, we just kind of threw this together. We got a bunch of random stuff. Yeah, that's a deer I shot there.
Did you, when did you, was that the first deer you shot, Miles?
That was my second deer I ever shot.
Okay, well, that, I'm glad you brought that up. It's deer season now. I've been out once. I went out bow hunting one time. Gun season starts in Wisconsin. Is it this weekend? No, next weekend. But it opened up in Minnesota, and you went.
I went. And I didn't go hunting. I just went and sat in the woods for 15 hours over the weekend and didn't shoot anything. So
well, that's,
I don't think I'm technically hunting then. I'm more so just sitting when in nature.
Do you enjoy sitting in nature?
I do for like 2 hours.
2 hours.
Then, you know, because so where we hunt, I got to walk into the woods to my deer stand. Mm-hmm. Right. So we park outside and then I go walk. And of course, it's uphill. And I got all my gear on and I got my backpack, my gun, my snowsuit, and I'm going to my stand. By the time I get there, I'm in a full sweat.
Yeah.
So first then you're like, okay, well now I got to start shedding layers. But then about an hour later, your blood starts to settle a little bit. Then you start getting cold. Then you got to put layers back on. And it's this whole thing of just hot, cold, hot, cold. Then by hour three, you can't feel your toes and you're like, what am I doing out here? I haven't shot anything.
Are you a big snacker in the deer stand?
I'm kind of paranoid a little bit.
Because you'd think the sense of the food you're eating.
If I was like sitting in a heated stand in a field and that whole thing, I would be snacking whole time.
Yeah.
Because I'm in close quarters in the woods. It's, in my opinion, it's like a little bit closer to bow hunting that way where like I'm just in the woods. I'm not in an enclosed stand or anything like that. So I get a little paranoid, but you reach a point where you're like, honestly, I'm so hungry and I need some coffee. Do I really care that much if I shoot a deer? I think I'd rather eat.
Yeah. You know, you kind of try to eat a little bit, especially you get yourself nice and full before you go up there. So you're not tempted to do it, but at some point you're going to be like, all right, this is going to throw off the scent. The little rapping noises might, you know, cause a deer to go away, but I'm just going to do it anyway. It's just how it rolls there. Mm-hmm. Did you have any deer hunting thoughts when you were up there? You know, just deer stand thoughts, random things that came into the old noggin, that realizations, anything?
Yeah, I think there's almost stages, right? Like the first stage is this first, like you go through, because I got a range finder.
Yeah.
You start trying to guess how far away trees are.
I was doing that same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that one looks about 40 and it's like 36.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's that stage. Then you spend so much time looking at the ground. Once in a while, I like to just look at the sky.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What do you like about looking at the sky there, Miles?
I like watching all the trees sway.
Do you ever think about all the trees that don't fall on you?
All the trees ever?
Yeah, it's a
great. I've never had a tree fall on me.
Well, it happens. A buddy of mine had a tree fall on him.
That's like maybe the worst luck I've ever heard.
It's bad luck, but it's a gratitude practice because you look around at the trees.
And well, then you start getting deep, right? Then you're like thinking like that tree is so old.
I know.
Right? Like a 40-foot high tree has got to be hundreds of years old.
And you think about all the stuff that tree has seen.
All of the times it's seen me fall asleep in the stand.
Yeah. Did you have your phone out there with you?
I try not to.
Good for you. Good for you.
Yeah, mostly because I'm afraid that I'm going to have my sound on and I'm scrolling on Instagram and then all of a sudden you hear, hey there, folks. Welcome to the Cripes Cast. And I'm like,
you know what? It would be an honor of mine to scare a big old buck away from you.
Yeah.
So then, all right. So you go from looking at the clouds, guessing with the rangefinder, staring at a leaf. What comes next?
And then you get to a point where you're now getting it. I think before there's two more stages. The next stage is, what am I even doing out here? Think of all the other stuff I could be doing instead of just sitting here staring at the leaves. Right. And then the last stage is just, you just get mad.
Yeah.
You're just mad you haven't seen anything or that the right deer hasn't walked through. But I was thinking, Charlie.
Yeah. Good for you.
There you go.
Thank you, Jared. I appreciate that laugh.
I was thinking.
Yeah.
The fact that we ever do shoot a big buck is kind of a miracle. The chances that the day that you're sitting in that tree, the chances that that perfect buck is walking through, the chance got to be really low. Because they travel all over the place.
They're wanderers.
The weather's got to be right. Like all that stuff.
Can't have too much wind.
So really, it's kind of like baseball. You should only bat 300. You shouldn't be batting 1,000 when you're over there.
No. If you are, people are starting to wonder. Yeah. Are you baiting them? Doing some weird stuff?
Chaining them to a tree and waiting until you go out there?
Yeah. I've never heard of that.
That doesn't actually happen.
Are you sure that's not how you got that one right there? Did you buy that from a farm? And
I think legal advice would tell me to stop talking. Yeah,
plead the fifth.
Yeah.
Tell us about your first buck, Miles.
Oh, that's a great story.
Yeah. How old were you?
Is it not embarrassing? I mean, I was like pretty young. I don't know, like 13.
Yeah. Gun hunting, bow hunting.
Gun hunting.
Okay.
I don't really bow hunt, mostly because my dad didn't bow hunt, so I just never did it growing up.
Yeah.
So I went hunting, and I was actually in the stand with my dad, and this little spike buck came walking in.
Mm-hmm.
And I was all sorts of jittery, you know, the old buck fever. Your heart starts beating, you're shaking a little bit.
Yeah.
And I had a terrible shot.
Oh, no.
Terrible.
Where'd you shoot it?
So my first shot, I think it was in its hind leg.
Oh God.
And then the second shot, it was a gut shot.
Oh geez.
But we got it on the ground, you know, it didn't suffer for too long there.
Okay.
And then we walk up to it and one of the spikes, the one of the antlers didn't go up. It went like into its ear and like wrapped around the bottom side of the ear.
Weird.
It was really weird.
Did you mount that?
No, God, no.
It would have been kind of funny if you did.
Yeah. And my uncle actually that was 17 years ago. So yeah, I'd been 13 years old. 17 years ago, I shot my first buck and he saw the photo and I had the classic middle school long swooping hair over the front of the forehead.
The bob.
Embarrassing. Yeah. But I still wear the same like hat that I did back then.
Really?
Every year.
It's
like one that Velcros on the top and the flaps come down and go underneath.
It's your lucky deer hunting hat.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you. Well, that was nice. And did your dad teach you how to field dress it and everything? Yeah,
lots of heavy breathing, lots of gagging going on. I don't do well with the smells.
Ah,
it's not so much doing it. It's the smells that I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's not.
I was not built to work in sanitation. Let's just say that.
Got it. Well said. Mm-hmm. Well said.
Yeah, like I think smells will make me queasy more than seeing something bad.
Well, why don't you get a little nose plugger?
We could. Or we could go hunting together and you can just hold my nose shut while I'm gutting the deer.
That I would be honored to hold your nose shut.
That would be something else.
That would be a little
you can hold one of the legs too.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I'd love to hold one of your deer legs. At that point,
I remember too, like one of the first times, like when you're, you know, cutting him open.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's such a weird, you're like, okay, so I'm just gonna grab the deer's nuts.
Yep. That's
and that's hold her to the side. You know, it's like, all right, this is, I don't know, is. It's like Chris Hansen going to pop out from one of the trees and tell me I'm getting a little too friendly with it or what?
Yeah, it is a weird thing.
But not once you get over it, it's fine. But
yeah, you always think the person's messing with you when they teach you how.
Yeah. Like, you shouldn't go, hey, you remember your first buck? It's like, remember your first buck nuts?
Grab those. Now look for the anus. Yeah. Oh, good. I'm glad we're diving into this like that, Miles. It's nice. Hey, we got some fan sort of questions here.
Oh, really? And you guys do fan questions?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Are they good?
Some of them, yeah, are very good.
How many of them are mean?
None are mean. Don't worry. I took out all the mean ones. What, Miles, was your first impression of me when we first met?
My first impression was, one, this guy needs to get some sleep.
Okay. Why the sleep thing? You brought that up before. Is it the eyes?
Yeah, it's a little bit the eyes.
Under the eyes.
You've been getting more sleep lately, though. I can tell.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
It's a nice thing you said to me. I remember. So you're older than me.
Okay. Here we go.
No, this is like, so you're like 6 years older than me, right?
I'm 36.
Yeah. So you're 6 years older than me. And you, the way you carried yourself the first time we met, I could tell that you were more seasoned than I was. And I felt a little fish out of water.
Oh, you felt a little threatened.
No, I just felt like, okay, I got to be on my game because this guy knows what he's doing here.
Little did you know.
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. So it was a little bit like, this guy's a comedian. Like, I got to be funny. I got to like hang with him here. I just remember that being not like intimidated, but just like, I got to be on my A game here because this guy knows what he's doing.
Well, that's nice. Thanks for pumping my tires.
Because I remember at this point, I come full circle. We do this now a lot, but I only shot stuff on iPhone at that point. So I didn't even use a camera for any of my videos. And you showed up with a buddy.
Yeah.
And he had a whole rig set up with a camera. He had a gimbal. He was getting side. It was all over the place. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. All right. That was my buddy, Justin Ferrari. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The School of Ope. That mm-hmm. was it. We shot that in Minneapolis.
You got oped. Start that.
That's a good one. Put that on it.
Kind of like punked, but Midwest style.
Midwest style. I like.
Oh, that. Gotcha. It's okay. Actually,
that's not bad.
All right, though. We could do it. Yeah,
thanks, Jared.
Prank show.
We could
call Oped.
Oped.
That's actually not a bad idea. And all the pranks are like super mild.
Yeah,
like they're not mean at all.
No.
Yeah, you put like green beans in a casserole instead of corn.
You're calling it. I call it casserole and not hot dish. Yeah, I brought 3.2% beer instead of the 4.1. Classic. You thought you were getting drunk, but you're not.
You're just getting bloated.
You just got oped.
All right. The next question is, what was my first impression of you?
Oh, God.
Oh, boy. I will say this. First time I met you, you got out of the car. I went in for the hand hug. Where you shake the hand, you do the smack on the back. You were not for that. You maintained straight hand. It was an awkward first embrace. That's what I remember. That's what sticks in the dome.
I didn't grow up in a family that did a lot of embracing.
Well, neither did I.
So I think that's just probably part of my nature. Okay. I'm not a good embracer in general.
Okay, so first time meeting, it's just straight handshake.
But I have noticed that I was like that, and so I've tried to be more friendly with embraces.
Yeah, you've tried to give a little the half hug.
Or if a guy puts his hand out and I like him, you know, just give him the hug.
Oh, there you go.
The big pat on the back.
Yeah, that's nice. Well, that was.
And then it's like, that's always paired with like a. And then like a, good to see you, man.
Cool bar here, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice little small talk.
Well, yeah, I could see that.
I have shows coming up in Fargo. Is Miles going to do 5-minute set again?
I don't know, dude.
Why don't you know?
Because it consumes me. That 5 minutes, my entire day, I'm worried about it. And then I go up and do it, and it's not that good. And I'm like, I just wasted a whole day on this for 5 minutes.
Well, Miles, that's the art of stand-up right there.
I know. Honestly, I don't think folks understand how much work actually goes into stand-up comedy. And like, how just through working with you and other comedians, the amount of respect I have for comedians is through the roof,
including me.
Yeah. Even you, Charlie. Wow.
Sweet.
And, But I am glad that I was able to get a peek under the hood with your comedy career to have the self-awareness. Not that like I couldn't do it, but that I just wouldn't be, it's not for me.
Yeah, it's not your thing. You got to be on the road a lot. You got to be
On the road a lot. There's a lot of writing involved. There's a lot of smaller shows bombing, doing all that stuff. And I don't know. I just, not for me.
Got it.
But you never know.
Well, because this leads into the next question. When are you guys going to do Bellied Up Live?
Well, we this summer we said we were going to do it this fall.
Yeah,
I think this fall we said we're going to do it this winter. So probably next fall we'll end up actually getting it done. But we've been talking about it.
We have. Actually, there's this new venue in Milwaukee. It's part of the Pabst Group. I forget the name of the venue. It's a new one. It's coming out. But they asked if we wanted to do a podcast there. So maybe
we've been floating it around.
Yeah.
Essentially, the idea is we would just do it like a normal Bellied Up podcast, but instead of callers, we would do like a lottery system and pull out numbers and people from the or ideas. People would submit their ideas when they walk in, and then we would go through and choose them and have them actually be audience members instead of callers, correct?
Yeah, I think something like that.
Something like that.
I almost like the idea of calling them up on stage.
Yeah.
Because I think that would be...
And bringing like a... So having some sort of bar set up there, I don't know.
Yeah.
Instead of just like a table.
No, that's true. They could... We should have an actual bar up there on stage, and then they can actually belly up to the bar with us.
Yeah.
And the bar we should just have... be like in kind of Last Supper style, you know, where we're all facing the
sitcom style. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be fun. I like that. Well, let's do it. We'll do it.
Conversation we had this summer. We will do it.
We will
just taking a little bit.
Yeah. No.
Hey, we're letting it marinate.
We are. I mean, I feel pretty confident about it.
I do too.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The weekend's rash of tornadoes and the plains turning deadly. A four-month-old child dead after a tornado tore through a home in Holdenville, Oklahoma. And in Sulphur, Oklahoma, Julie Cox lost her boutique, and some of her friends lost their businesses, too.
I mean, that's just devastation. I mean, I have a lot of friends that own, you know, this whole street. We're all like family here.
22 million Americans are under a threat for violent storms today. More than 200 arrests Saturday as protests over the war in Gaza continue on U.S. college and university campuses. Newly released video showing American Keith Siegel, who is being held by Hamas. The first time his family has seen him in more than 200 days, Hamas says that it is reviewing a new Israeli ceasefire proposal. After a nearly three-year investigation, federal regulators saying that a critical safety gap in Tesla's autopilot system may be responsible for hundreds of accidents and more than a dozen deaths. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Yankees crushed the Brewers. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It was a long night for the crew. The Yankees beat the Brewers at AmFam Field last night 15-3. Aaron Judge, Anthony Rizzo, Giancarlo Stanton, all with home runs. Milwaukee starting pitcher Joe Ross giving up the first seven runs in five innings. NBA, more bad news for the Bucks. Damian Lillard doubtful. An MRI shows he has a strained Achilles. Expected not to play in Game 3 tonight in Indy. The Pacers lead the series 2-1. NFL, the Packers add 11 more players in the draft, including Tulane quarterback Michael Pratt, who got a call last night in the seventh round, just getting out of the pool when the call came through.
What's up, man? How you doing? I'm doing well. I'm here with all my family and friends. Yes, sir.
Well, get your jackets. Green Bay.
That's Tulane quarterback Michael Pratt. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Showers, even a thunderstorm possible for today. East winds will be breezy with highs in the lower 60s. For tonight, showers, still a thunderstorm around as lows drop to the middle 50s. Thunderstorm chances will not end once we get to Monday. Right now, it's 54.
It's 2024 and Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. We've expanded.
Smart, simple, income protection. Hi, this is Julie at State Farm in Richland Center. You rely on your income and State Farm can help protect it. If you become disabled and cannot work due to illness or injury, disability insurance offers flexible, affordable coverage that can provide money to help you pay for your mortgage, rent, loans, and other monthly expenses. If you'd like to explore your options, call, text, email, or stop by Julie Karen State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Milwaukee Brewer Baseball from WRCE Radio is sponsored by Jones Chevrolet Buick, A&W.